Accessories, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
Listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Christmeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of IR and its advertisers or affiliates.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, this evening, for the first hour, they're going to be your views because this is Open Line Wednesday, the day after Christmas. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we certainly look forward to your telephone calls because we ordinarily don't start our Wednesday evening with any sort of a prepared script. Looking forward to your calls to liven up the program. But there are a couple of things that certainly are probably worthwhile talking about. One of the fact is what's going on over in Iraq today, and they tell us that, why there's less violence now than there has been, less Americans are getting killed. I mean, things are really improving over there, and then, of course, they'll also tell us that there's been more violence in the United States, more violence in Iraq this year. We've lost more men than any time before, but certainly things are getting better over there at the present time, and, of course, one reason they're getting better is because we're providing jobs for a lot of the Sunnis. Now, you have to understand that when J. Paul Bremer was sent over, of course, he comes from Kissinger and Associates. He's part of the Brotherhood of Darkness, part of this occult hierarchy that rules the world. And he was sent over there in May of 2003, just after we'd established America's presence, America's domination in the country, and the American military wanted to use the Iraq army and Iraq police force and Iraq civil service and Iraq factories and Iraq teachers, and they wanted to try to maintain the structure of society over there. But J. Paul Bremer was sent over by the president as his envoy, and Bremer immediately disbanded the Iraq army and the Iraq police force and the Iraq civil service, so there was no electricity and no water and no sewage, and he began to fire the teachers there. He closed down the factories so nobody had jobs. And of course, when you have no jobs, how do you support your family? Well, Al-Qaeda had money. Al-Qaeda, people coming in from Saudi Arabia, our good friends over in Saudi Arabia, they were paying the Sunnis to join the insurgents and kill the Americans. And, well, it wasn't very hard to get the Sunnis to do that because they felt that the Americans were occupying the country, were there after their oil, and the people had no jobs. Well, 4 years later, four and a half years later, we've finally decided to give these people jobs. And we've hired about 70,000, 60 to 70,000 of the Sunnis, and we have actually given them $300 a month, the guards, things of that sort. We're training them, we're arming them. So, these are the people who are killing Americans just a few months ago. They were killing the Shia Muslims a few months ago. They were fighting a civil war there, but now we paid them, and so basically the Shia militia has stepped down. The Sunnis are working for the Americans, and things are better, but have we really solved the problem there? I mean, the only way to solve it is to split the country into three parts and let the local ethnic leaders run it, but trying to force these Shia and the Sunnis to to live together when they hate one another, it's just never going to work. And our leaders know that. But you see, if they solve the problem, how could we justify keeping our troops there indefinitely? So we're not going to have a solution. And what you're seeing is things are better temporarily. But I believe this is simply because the elections are coming up. And if they were to keep the war and expand the war, why, there'd be a lot of certainly people who might support candidates who wanted to end the war. That's the last thing the administration wants. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Joseph on the line calling from upstate New York. Hi, Joseph. How are you hearing us there?
Dr. Stan, I usually listen on the Internet.
Okay, very good. Well, we're glad to have you with us. Do you have a comment about Afghanistan?
Yes, I had a little story I thought you might find interesting.
All right, fine. Well, go ahead.
Back in December of 2000, I was visiting in Germany. And I met up with some Pakistanis while I was there. They were visiting also. And one of them was telling me stories that at that time I had never heard anything like that about what our government has been involved in his part of the world and in the Far East, involved with different governments and economies and different things. I never heard stories like that at that time. And I told him I thought he was full of crazy stories. And he said, I know you don't believe me, he said, but... He said, you mark my words. He said, your government at this time wants to get into Afghanistan. They want to change the government, put in a government that they can control. And he mentioned one other thing. I'm not sure it had to do with either the narcotics or the oil, something, pipeline.
Well, we wanted to put a pipeline through, and certainly that's all covered in my little pamphlets called Foreknowledge 911, and yes, we had been negotiating with the Afghan government so that we could actually run a pipeline from the Caspian Sea down through Afghanistan, through Pakistan, down to the Indian Ocean. So go ahead.
Well, I was just wondering if at that time in December, that far ahead of the invasion, if you had any idea that something like that was coming up.
No, I really didn't. I certainly didn't have a lot of information about the Middle East at that time. Since then, of course, I've learned a lot about the American policy and how we actually had financed Al-Qaeda, how we had, and of course, the Americans, the Saudis and the Pakistanis financed Al-Qaeda, but we financed the Taliban, too. I mean, Sydney, why would we want to go to war with the Taliban? We were financing them. In fact, if you read George Bush's September 20th speech, 2001, that September 20th, 2001, the speech that he gave right after the 9/11 attack, you'll find that America was the largest source of humanitarian aid for Afghanistan, which was the Palestine, which was the Taliban. We were financing the Taliban, the wicked Taliban that we're killing now. Why would we have done that? Well, very simply, because we financed this whole radical Islamic movement, a product of the CIA creating the best enemy that money could buy. And very, very few people understand that we carry a book called The Devil's Game, going into how this whole radical Islamic movement was created by our CIA. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number here at Radio Liberty is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We have Joseph calling from upstate New York, who said that in December of 2000, he was met some people from Pakistan who were telling him, you know, that suddenly our government was involved in all sorts of things having to do with that Middle East, and that our government was intent upon getting into Afghanistan at that time. And he doesn't remember whether it had to do with oil or what it was, but that the Pakistani had told him the American government was intent upon, you know, getting into Afghanistan. And then, of course, Joseph said he told this fellow he was crazy. Why, that couldn't be true. But then, Joseph, back in 2000, did you really understand this drive for American empire or the spiritual forces which are energizing it?
Oh, no, not at all. That's why I said I didn't believe what he was saying. And he knew that. I told him. He said, I know you don't believe me. He said, but you mark my words. And I remembered what he said later on after the invasion.
Well,
I learned so much since then.
Well, the thing is, most Americans are not aware of the fact that the United States has an empire. That is the major thrust of American foreign policy. We are going to dominate the rest of the world. And of course, it's simply a stepping stone towards this establishment of the world government. But that's why we have troops stationed, you know, in 130 nations. Why we have, you know, over 750, you know, bases throughout the rest of the world. And why we have our troops still stationed in Germany and Japan and in Korea, but certainly we have troops stationed now indefinitely in Afghanistan and indefinitely in Iraq, and we're not trying to win the war in Iraq. In fact, my December newsletter is going to be the speech that was given by General Ricardo Sanchez, Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, who was really in charge of the coalition forces from June 2003 to June 2004, and that speech he gave on the 12th of October to the editors and the military reporters basically said America has not been allowed to win the war in Iraq. Well, of course, if you look at it, it's a replay of Korea, the no-win war in Korea, then the no-win war in Vietnam, and now a no-win war in both Afghanistan and in Iraq. And the American people don't understand. They think it's a matter of supporting our troops. If you want to support our troops, get them out of there before they get killed, because we're not trying to win the war and the military hasn't been allowed to. And that was what General Sanchez said. And there's 750 references to, I mean, 7,500 references there on Google, but only one copy of the speech, and it's almost illegible. And that's why we've reproduced it, because we want the American people to know what General Sanchez said about the fact that the U.S. military has not been allowed to win the war in Iraq. That's the tragedy.
Yeah, right, I agree.
Well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Do you have anything else you'd like to cover, Joseph?
No, I think that should do it for now.
All right, fine. Well, I appreciate your calling, and I hope you get everybody up there in upstate New York listening to our programs. It's, you know, the only way we're going to get people thinking is to get them listening, and it doesn't matter if they think we're crazy to begin with. After a while, they'll be afraid that we're not.
Yes, I'm afraid you're not, Stan. I enjoyed talking to you. Thank you very much.
God bless, and thanks very much for calling. And that was Joseph calling from upstate New York, and it's really wonderful to know that we do have listeners all over the country. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and what was really so interesting over the holidays is we had a young man call me. He was visiting his family in Montana, but he lives full and works full time in Romania. I don't know what his job is over in Romania, but he lives full time over there, and he listens to our programs regularly. We, of course, as you know, on the internet, the programs are archived. You can pick them up on MP3. So he's listening to the programs over there, and of course, keeping abreast of what's going on. And it helps really to have somebody point out what's going on and the absurdity of most of what we're being told. Well, perhaps we can temporarily talk about what's happening financially, because of course this is really one of the most significant things going on in the world today. And here in the United States, we have about five major banks. We have, or financial houses, that we'd call them. You have Merrill Lynch, and then you have Bear Stearns. You have Wachovia. You have J.P. Morgan Chase. You have Morgan Stanley, and these are the very large financial firms over here. And Merrill Lynch is certainly, you know, one of these multi-billion-dollar financial institutions. At about 2 or 3 weeks ago, they actually had to sell somewhere between 5% and 10% of their stock to somebody in Abu Dhabi, you know, because they had to raise money because they had so many of the collateralized debt obligations they had to write off. And now we find out that they're going to sell another pretty close to 10% of their of the value of their stock at a steep discount to the municipality of Singapore, sovereign investment fund over there in Singapore. So they're going to have to give another 10% of their stock away or sell it, which of course tremendously dilutes the stock of Merrill Lynch, because of course of their collateralized debt obligations. So we're talking about an awful lot of money. But what people don't really want to talk about is Merrill Lynch was one of the companies that was guaranteeing that these collateralized debt obligations that were sold all throughout the world were really AAA rated, and they weren't. And they had to know that they were not AAA rated. But what nobody talks about is the question is, who has written the $400 to $500 trillion of derivatives? And of course, those derivatives overhang the market. You have to understand what a derivative is. It was Warren Buffett who defined them as financial weapons of mass destruction, currently latent but potentially lethal. And they are a guarantee on the part of a financial institution that if you buy a bond and the people don't pay the money that they owe on the bond, that you will go ahead and make up the difference. In other words, it's a bet that the people who are buying the bonds are going to the people who are going to buy the bonds are going to get paid, and if they don't get paid, then you have to come in there and you have guaranteed the payment. Well, this was a very good means of making a lot of money, with relatively no risk, because you had the ratings on those bonds. If they were AAA bonds, they were certainly going to be paid for. The people who owed the money were going to pay on the bonds, and so they have written. Financial institutions have written $400 to $500 trillion, that's trillion dollars in derivatives, and there isn't that much money in the world. And now all these collateralized debt obligations, bonds are coming due, and the people want people to act on the derivatives, and Merrill Lynch has written those derivatives, and nobody wants to say that. And you're talking about the potential for trillions of dollars of money that Merrill Lynch owes. They've already sold somewhere between 15 and 20% of their company, first to Abu Dhabi, and then, of course, to now to Singapore. And are they going to have to sell the rest of it? And when they get all done, then what are they going to sell? How are they going to possibly meet their obligation for the derivatives? And nobody's talking about that. And many of our largest financial institutions have written those derivatives, the financial weapons of mass destruction, potentially lethal. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we've got Gary calling from Yakima. Hi, Gary. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I hope you had a great Christmas.
Oh, yes. Ministry blessed.
All right, fine. Well, do you have a comment for us?
I want to go back to your comment about Iraq.
All right.
A lot of people, Ron Paul's taking the stand of, unjust war and pulling the troops out of there, and you're mentioning similar things. I've been talking to people around, that's one of the things that they're concerned about supporting Ron Paul is the stand about pulling all the troops out of Iraq. It will destabilize the area. What happens if they go ahead and get an atomic bomb? What about our...
Wait, who's going to get an atomic bomb?
Iran is trying to get the atomic weapons, and if we, Iran, and if we pull out of there, then we're not going to do anything to slow them down in acquiring this atomic bomb Iran.
Okay, that's...
And so what about our alliance with Israel? Are we going to just let them get the atomic bomb and threaten our beloved Israel?
All right, fine. Well, I think that you're talking about a number of different issues. First of all, pulling our troops out of Iraq and Afghanistan is one. The second issue would be the issue of Iran. And the third issue would be the issue of Israel. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
All right. Certainly, they're not all interconnected. Should we be have our troops in Iraq and in Afghanistan when we're fighting a no-win war? You have to understand that we were not allowed to win in Korea. We sacrificed those boys simply to give the American people the idea that we were anti-communist. After all, a lot of people were saying there must be communists in our government. That's what they were saying back in 1947 and 48 after we turned Eastern Europe and China over to the communists. And So to convince the American people that we were really were anti-communist, we had a no-win war with Korea. We lost, 48,000 men there, never tried to win the war. Well, the same thing happened in Vietnam. We never tried to win that war. And if you read General Ricardo Sanchez's recent speech on the 12th of October, you realize we're not trying to win the war in Iraq or Iran. Iraq or Afghanistan, you want to leave those boys there just to continue to be killed? Or would you rather address the major issues? We're not trying to win the war. The military is not going to be allowed to win the war. Wouldn't it be better to bring them home and save their lives? We'll be back in just a moment to talk to Gary and welcome your call here. Well, Gary, since we're not trying to win the war, why do you want to keep our troops there? Gary, are you still there?
Yeah, well, I'm processing.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
chaos, and I'm pointing out there's going to be chaos. And since we're not trying to win the war, and I gave as a reference for that the speech that was given by Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, who commanded the coalition forces from June of 2003 until June of 2004, and that will be our December newsletter. We hope you'll get it and read it and realize that Iraq is Vietnam and Korea all over again. We're not trying to win the war in Iraq any more than we tried to win in Vietnam or in Korea, so why continue wasting lives over there? And then, of course, Gary had raised the issue of Iran. What about their building a nuclear weapon? And yeah. I'm sure they probably are trying to enrich the uranium. I have no question at all. But I do believe that there are spirits of forces that are energizing the people who are leading Iran. And the whole purpose behind everything going on today and Ahmadinejad threatening Israel and threatening the United States is basically they want to plunge the world into a war between the Christian and the Muslim world. And this will be a disaster for the Muslims. It'll be a disaster for the Christians. It'll certainly be a disaster for the Jews. And I believe that the leaders of Israel today, Olmert and the others there, are under the control of the Council on Foreign Relations, or the Brotherhood of Darkness that runs America, and they're in the process of betraying Israel. This is the tragedy of what's going on today. The leaders of Israel they will, for instance, release 500 terrorists that they've imprisoned, many of whom tried to kill Israelis and have blood on their hands, and they release them just in the name of goodwill, not getting anything in return, not even getting back the Israeli soldiers that have been captured and being, you know, held as hostages by the other side. And you find that Olmert and the people who surround him are really not intent upon defending Israel. They've actually withdrawn the troops from Gaza. They actually withdrew the settlers from Gaza and turned it over to Hamas, which is now a base from which Hamas lobs rockets and mortars into southern Israel. Why would you do something that stupid unintentionally? And if you look for logic, there's no logic out there. But if you understand that Israel is being betrayed by the Israeli leaders who are answerable to the United States, then everything going on there really makes sense. And this next hour, we'll have Barry Shamus with us, and I think he'll reiterate exactly what I'm saying. So we're just trapped in an impossible situation. We can talk about, you know, wanting to pull our troops out of Iraq and Afghanistan. I believe that's what we should do, but I don't think we're going to do it any more than I think that we are going to protect Israel. I think we're going to betray the Israelis, and I think that millions of Israelis are going to die before this is all over. But I also fear millions of Americans are going to die as well, because we're doing everything we can to build up the military potential of both Russia and China, once again creating the best enemies money could buy in preparation for World War III. Go ahead, Gary. I'll be quiet and you say what you'd like to say. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go ahead.
So let me see if I understand you correctly. You feel like there really isn't a threat of the nuclear bomb in Iran that could jeopardize Israel, that the leaders in Israel are wanting to betray their own country anyway? Why should we go ahead and try to help them if their own leaders are trying to destroy them themselves?
I think that what we ought to do is get leaders in there, back them, who want to preserve Israel. And I believe that Iran will not be able to build a bomb for a number of years. I believe that they are trying to enrich the uranium because they want to build a bomb, but I don't think they're going to be able to build it for a number of years. And after all, I mean, Pakistan has nuclear weapons. China has nuclear weapons. Russia has nuclear weapons. That's the people on the north, on the east, and on the south of Iran. Should we be surprised that they would want to have nuclear weapons? India has nuclear weapons now. Israel has nuclear weapons. I mean, there's no way we're going to be able to stop every country in the world from having nuclear weapons. We never should have developed in the first place, but they're there, and I really fear that one day we're going to see a worldwide nuclear holocaust.
I see. That's interesting. Thank you so much, Dr. Stan. That's quite enlightening.
Oh, God bless you. Thanks very much for calling in, and get all those people up there in Yakima listening, will you?
Yeah, I'm talking about you, Ted. Lots of people, Dr. Stan, and I'll be looking for that newsletter in December.
All right, fine. It'll be coming. I just finished it today, and I'm rather pleased with it. But then Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez gets the credit because it's really his speech that very,
right.
very few Americans have ever had a chance to read. God bless him.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Okay, again, our number 1-800-544-8927.
Never had a voice. You never got to walk. Never got to dance.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when I certainly want to mention once again that our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you're out there. Listening to us, 464-8295. If you're in the Central Coast of California, all right, give us a call. But before our caller called in from Yakima, I was talking about what is happening financially. And, of course, this really is almost overwhelming in its implications because we're talking about some of the biggest banks in the world having written derivative contracts and guaranteed that all these collateralized debt obligations and asset-backed securities and structured investment vehicles and this whole myriad of financial structures, in other words, these are basic forms of loans, that they will all be paid. And there's no way that there is enough money in the world to meet all of the derivative obligations. And as we've said before, and certainly quoting Warren Buffett, derivatives are financial weapons of mass destruction, currently latent but potentially lethal. And Warren Buffett was simply pointing out that when the derivative market begins to implode, the whole financial system of the world collapses. And you're talking about some of the biggest banks in the world. For instance, Credit Suisse, one of the two largest banks in Switzerland, was recently given $20 billion, that's B, billion, boy, billion dollars, by our Federal Reserve System. Well, I should say they were loaned $20 billion. Why is the Federal Reserve loaning Credit Suisse $20 billion when Credit Suisse says that they don't have any CDO or collateralized debt obligations? Why, very simply, because I suspect they have written derivative contracts, and they're going to have to start paying off on that or default, and when they default, the whole financial structure of the Western financial world begins to collapse. And the same thing is true, I suspect, for the Union Bank of Switzerland. The Union Bank of Switzerland has already sold 10% of its wealth, of the very structure of the Union Bank of Switzerland, the other largest bank in Switzerland. They've already sold 10% to the government of Singapore, and you remember Merrill Lynch is also selling about 10% of itself to the government of Singapore. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We were simply talking about the collateralized debt obligations and the fact that there were certainly the biggest banks in the world have written derivative contracts. If they default on them, why, of course, the whole financial structure of the Western world will come down. And yet there's no way that they can possibly meet all of their financial obligations, because there are somewhere between $400 and $500 trillion in derivative contracts that have been written, and there's not that much money in the world. And that's why I just was commenting that the American Federal Reserve System, within the last 2 weeks, has lent $20 billion, that's B billion dollars, to Credit Suisse, which is not an American bank. It's just one of the two largest banks in Switzerland. The American Federal Reserve has lent Credit Suisse $20 billion, and they claim they don't have any CDO obligations. And I suspect maybe they don't. But I suspect they've written an awful lot of derivative contracts, as has UBS, the other largest bank in Switzerland, that's already had to sell 10% of its wealth to the Singapore government, and has another $29 billion in CDO contracts, and they're looking for somebody else to buy more. And pretty soon you're going to find so many of our banks are going to be bought up by the Asian investors and by the Chinese investors and by the Arab investors. And of course, the West will no longer be the West. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we've got Regis calling us from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, Regis. How are you doing?
How you feeling, Dr. Stan?
I'm getting better every day, getting stronger, and got a lot to be thankful for.
Oh, very good. Well, bless you for the new year there. Hey, I have two questions. First of all, talking about our fiat money system, and, you know, I've been hearing, you know, dozens and dozens of commercials on FM and AM radio, you know, concerning, you know, companies that sell, you know, these precious metal, gold and silver, you know, to the public. And my question is, if our paper money is not really worth much of anything, why would any one of these, you know, precious metal companies, why would they want to trade, our worthless money for their valuable gold or silver?
Well, I think that's a very legitimate question. Well, first of all, they want to make a profit, because most of these gold and silver companies actually buy the gold and silver from the major dealers, and, of course, they will make a profit of anywhere from 3% up to 20 or 30 or 50%, depending upon what they can sell you. And so you want to be very, very careful. But this is the way that the world works. And right now, of course, people are buying gold and silver because they want something of intrinsic value for their money. And if I were you, I would very seriously consider investing. But I will tell you, there are a lot of sharks out there that sense there's blood in the water, and they're going to take you if they possibly can. Well, be careful of who you deal with, and you may have a local company that you can deal with. You may have somebody that's nothing wrong with buying things from people, but you want to know that they are responsible and that they're going to give you the gold and silver that you paid for, because they want the money before they send you the gold and silver, and you want to be awfully careful of the prices and what they tell you, because sometimes people will lie to get you to sell something, get you to buy something so they can make a profit.
Well, okay, well, excuse my ignorance, but I still don't understand in the sense that, say, for instance, I have a neighbor who's telling me that my, $20 bills are worthless, but he's willing to take my $20 bills, okay, and trade gold for, you know, and give me gold. I still don't understand why a company would want, you know, money that's, you know, losing its value and, you know, giving me something that's, you know, much more valuable than my paper money.
You're absolutely right. And aren't you fortunate that you can get gold and silver for your useless paper? The day will come when you won't be able to get anything for your useless paper.
Oh, I agree with that, but I can't understand why a company, if they have my worthless money in their possession and I have their valuable gold, I just don't understand.
But aren't you fortunate that you could actually do that? And you can actually do that today. And these companies will sell it to you because they're getting it from somebody else. And of course, they are making a profit. They work on the spread between what costs them and what they can sell it to you for.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this second question, or about Masons. My father happens to be a Mason, and I have looked at his magazines over the years, and there's no young blood. There's practically no young blood in the Masons.
Right.
I have seen advertisements on billboards, and, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago and beyond, they'd never solicit for membership. And it seems like, you know, it's a dying organization like, you know, many organizations. And my question is, you know, I don't question negative impact that Masonry might have had in this country, but it seems like if they are as powerful and, you know, due to tapping into, you know, the evil forces in this world, that they would have ample supply of candidates, coming into the Masonry, because we know that, you know, the world is the way it's going. There are so many people to fill the ranks, and it seems like they're not getting them.
Aren't we thankful that they're not? In fact, certainly, I think that probably the work that a lot of conservatives have done exposing what Masonry is about has discouraged a lot of young people from going into Masonry. At one time, of course, Masonry was very, very popular.
Oh, I know.
And everybody wanted to be a Mason, but it's lost a lot of its allure, and there have been a lot of criticism and a lot of people talking about mean, really, the fact that that Masonry is a Luciferian organization. Now, I'm sure that the vast majority of Masons don't believe that at all.
Yeah, my father doesn't either.
But they do not understand that Masonry is a fraternity within a fraternity. There's an outer fraternity made up of good people who are, you know, it's fraternal, they have a lot of fun, they help one another, they do a lot of good. They
help crippled children.
Sure, I mean, who could be against the shrine hospitals and the wonderful things that they've done? But people don't understand that that is a front for something really very sinister. And this is really described in a book written by Manly P. Hall, who, when he died in the early 1990s, was referred to by the Scottish Rite magazine as probably Masonry's greatest philosopher. And in his book, The Lectures on Ancient Philosophy, he tells you that there are two fraternities. There's an outer fraternity and an inner fraternity. And the outer fraternity is simply men who are there wanting to do good and have a good time. But the inner fraternity are the people who study the Arcanum and the End Canorum. And I had to look that up in the dictionary. But it's the secret and the secret of secrets.
So do you believe that level of Masonry is being filled with replacements?
Oh, I believe it is, because there are not that many of them. And this is when you get to the 33rd and the higher degrees. And I believe that they are getting people, whether they have as many as they've had in the past, I don't know. But I believe, of course, that people are still joining Masonry. And remember, it's usually the older people who get to the 33rd degree. Mm-hmm. And when you get into the 33rd and the higher degrees, and most Masons don't even know there are any higher degrees.
There are more than 33.
Oh, yes. That's where the satanic degrees are. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Aleister Crowley, if you read Aleister Crowley's writings, he will tell you that he was a 33rd degree Mason for 12 years before he was invited to go into the higher levels of Masonry, where, of course, he got into Frank Satanism.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, well, I appreciate this information. One comment. The shortwave transmitter, wherever that's located, it's like non-existent.
All right. In fact, well, it is non-existent because it's off the air.
Okay.
And basically, we are starting back on different shortwave frequencies, actually on the 2nd of January.
Could you tell me then?
And, of course, let's see. We're going to be for our evening program, and there's only 1 hour. It might be this hour, at 5.835 and 7.315. It'll be on two frequencies for the first hour.
5.835 and 7.315.
And you should get good reception for the afternoon program, and that's 3 to 5 Pacific time or 6 to 8 Eastern time. We're going to be on WWCR, and that's a great station, and we don't have the frequencies yet.
Yeah, you were on that in the past, weren't you?
No, I've never been on WWCR. I was on WHRI.
WHRI, okay.
Right, but, of course, the evening program will be on WHRI again.
Now,
and this will start on the 2nd of January.
2nd of January, but that's only going to be, you're going to carry 1 hour.
We're only going to get it for the evening program, 1 hour, 2 hours in the afternoon.
2 hours in the afternoon. Okay, well, did the transmitter blow up or something?
We don't know what happened. We know there was some sort of electronic problem. And then why it's not going back on the air, I don't know. But we've been working with Jim Shepard. He's the people who put out the Berkey products. And Jim is one of those businessmen that you just love. His word is as good as his bond, or his bond is as good as his word. And we actually went on this other short way because of Jim, and to help him out, and apparently the people who are providing the shortwave coverage are not going to put that station back on the air. Why? I don't know. But so we're just going to, and of course they're helping me, Jim Shepard's organization, helping us get on WWCR, and we've been with WHRI in the past. That's that 5.835 and 7.315, and they have a 250,000-watt transmitter. There are two of them, so we'll be booming it all over California, all over the country, at least for the first hour. And quite frankly, the finances keep us from doing the second hour. But if you have access to the internet, well, you can get us that way.
Yeah, not on a regular basis. That's why I relied on my portable short waves. And
we'll be back on shortwave on the second. Anyway.
On the second. Okay. Well. Thank you very much. God bless you, and I'm glad you're feeling better.
God bless, and thank you.
You take care.
Okay. Let's go to Maggie, who's calling. Hi, Maggie. Where are you calling from?
Texas.
Okay, good to have you with us. How are you hearing us, Internet or?
Internet.
Okay, great.
Internet, yeah. I had also noted your disappearance from Shortwave, and I'm glad that you'll be back.
Well, we'll be back for 1 hour in the evening, and then, of course, we'll be about 2 hours in the afternoon. And we'll have those frequencies. I'll try to get them tomorrow and be able to announce them.
Okay, wonderful. What I called about was with reference to what the last caller was talking about, the decline of interest in Masonry. Uh-huh. I had just recently, within the last week, heard about an explosion of Masonry for women that is supposedly taking on or taking off all over the place, especially in South America. Had you heard of this?
No, I really haven't. Don't know anything at all about it.
Okay.
Well, here in the United States, we have the Eastern Star, which is for women, but I don't know anything about South America. Tell me what's going on.
You know, I was so startled about that I saved an article on it, and I don't remember what I filed it under, so I'm having trouble locating it right now, but I can either email it to you, or I also recommend that you Google just, female masonry, Chile, Chile, because I know that's one of the countries in which it's supposed to have made great inroads, but I forget where they were talking about it taking off next, and I think it may have been Madrid in Spain.
Well, of course, we don't really know what's going on in other countries in Masonry, but people have to understand what Masonry is.
Yeah.
Masonry is a continuation of the Gnostic heresies, and until people understand what Gnosticism is, unless people understand that the Masons worship a different god, and whether you're man or woman, you're into this, you're worshiping a different god than the Christian god, and that's really what it's all about. It's an anti-Christian heresy, and of course, unfortunately, these people believe that if you go into the background of Gnosticism, that there are two gods. There's the good God and the bad God, and they believe that Lucifer is a good God because he gives you real freedom. You do not have to be restricted by the Ten Commandments. There are not a lot of things that you can't do. You can do whatever you want to do. You have true freedom if you embrace Lucifer's dictums. And, of course, Aleister Crowley said it best, do what thou wilt. That is the whole of the law. Whereas, of course, those of us who are Christians have restrictions on what we can do. And the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. But, of course, without restraints, there is no freedom. And, of course, unfortunately, there are literally millions of people in the world who have embraced the Gnostic beliefs, and most people have never even heard of Gnosticism.
Yes, well, I believe that my impression was that that is what these female chapters are intending to embrace, real masonry as opposed to something like Eastern Star, which is really just masonry by association.
Well, there used to be, of course, a masonry for women, and, of course, Helena Petrovna Blavatsky was known as a co-mason. She was actually a mason, despite the fact she was a woman.
Right.
Traditionally, masonry is only open to men, but at times throughout history, there have been lodges specifically for women. That's very interesting. Maggie, if you can find that article, I would love to see it.
I will try to find it. Can I just email it to you at whatever your web address is there?
It's drstanradio at AOL.com. That's Dr. D-O-C-T-O-R.
Okay.
Stan Radio at AOL.com.
Okay, I certainly will.
God bless, and thanks very much for calling.
Sure, Dr. Stan.
Okay, fine. And so our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, Masonry comes up because Masonry is one of a myriad of secret societies that certainly are anti-Christian. They're dedicated to the establishment of this one-world government, a one-world religion, and, of course, the coming world leader. And if you read Morals and Dogma, and, of course, we recommend that people could get this and read it. It's a tremendous source of information, and certainly Albert Pike, writing back in 1871, explains that there have always been these mystery religions. And, of course, Gnosticism was certainly a continuation of the mystery religions. And from there, of course, it was continued through the Knights Templar, through the Rosicrucians, and through the modern-day Masons. And that's what Masonry is all about. It is a continuation of the story of the ancient mystery religions. And those of you who haven't heard my talk on The Forbidden Secret, it's well worthwhile getting. That's The Forbidden Secret, because it will give you tremendous insight into the fact that there has been the secrets that have been passed down since the time of Nimrod, the mighty hunter, through the Sumerian religions, through the Egyptians, through the Persians, through the Assyrians. But all of these, of course, had people who were into the mysticism. And most people weren't, but there was always a small group who were, who found there was tremendous power to be obtained by tapping into the dark side, and that is the secret that's been passed down through the ages. There is power there simply for the asking. However, of course, when you tap into the other dimension, why, you sacrifice your very soul. So certainly we hope you want to get my talk on The Forbidden Secret, understand what's going on today, and of course this permeates every aspect of our life today, and the New Age beliefs and the occult beliefs and the mediums are becoming increasingly popular today, but they are all anti-Christian. Each one of them is dedicated to destroying our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we just have a couple of minutes before our Wednesday open line program is over. If you do have a quick question you wanted to ask, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But well, let's get back briefly to what's happening financially, because this is certainly the most significant thing going on in the world today. Why is it significant? Because it's going to bring down the entire structure of the Western world. Everything is centered around our currency. You destroy the currency, you destroy the stability of society. Now, of course, people say, well, but certainly that's just for the collateralized debt obligations, and maybe for the asset-based securities, and maybe for the structured investment vehicles, but how can that possibly affect us, you know, and how can it affect the financial system? Well, of course, what's happening is the Federal Reserve is doing everything wrong, and I find it difficult to believe that they could be this foolish. Certainly, the Federal Reserve System was established in 1913, 1914, to provide for stability of our currency, and it is effectively, in the intervening 90 years or so, destroyed the stability of our currency. The U.S. currency has lost 35% of its value simply over the last 3 years. And, of course, facing a declining currency, you know, what they should be doing, of course, is raising interest rates, trying to stabilize the currency, and trying to cut back on the availability of credit, certainly not doing what they're doing. The European Central Bank and the Federal Reserve System have flooded the world with almost $1.5 trillion here over the last few weeks. They're trying to solve the problem of that face our society by increasing liquidity, and of course what that does is complicate matters and make them worse, because the problem is not liquidity. There's plenty of money out there in the world. The problem is solvency. Most of our major banks are no longer solvent because they've written derivatives, because they, of course, they have collateralized debt obligations as security for the money that they have, whatever it would be. So many of our major financial institutions are not solvent. And when the major financial institutions begin to come down, of course, what's the Fed going to do? Why, of course, they're going to put out more money and create an inflationary spiral similar to what we saw in the Weimar Republic, similar to what's going on in Rhodesia today, in that tragic nation where we put that government in power. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I need, of course, to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you are one of our listeners, whether it be on shortwave or internet or radio or on satellite, and you can hear us 9 hours a day on Telstar 5, well, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, we hope many of you will join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to continue doing what we do 5 hours a day. If you'd like to understand what is happening financially, let me suggest that you get my little pamphlet on the history of money. Because there's nothing new under the sun. They tried a fiat money system in ancient Greece, and they tried it in ancient Rome, and they tried it in Florence, and they tried it in Venice. You know, and they're talking about the 1300s and the 1600s, and then of course they tried it in France in the early 1700s under John Law, and then they tried it in America. They used that to finance the Revolutionary War. They tried it in France in 1789. Fiat money systems don't work. That's why, of course, you need to read my History of Money. It's a short little pamphlet. And then, of course, we have my talk on the financial tsunami, which explains derivatives, explains the carry trade, explains why there is a perfect financial storm. All of these coming together at this one time in history that is simply going to destroy the very financial base of this country. In fact, starting in January, just in a few days from now, some of the baby boomers, when reaching 62, are going to begin to retire. And when they do, why, there isn't any Social Security fund. The money's all been spent on wars and all sorts of other foolish things. And, of course, the whole Social Security system and the Medicare system and the whole welfare system that is the hallmark of our elitists is going to come crashing down. And we're talking about a relatively few years. And if you haven't read the material that's put out by David Walker, who is the I believe they call him the general or something of the GAO. Just Google in David Walker, GAO. And you'll find out that we are totally bankrupt as a nation. We have financial obligations we can never hope to meet. So this is the biggest thing that's really happening in the world today. You're watching the implosion of Western civilization, the financial core of Western civilization. And as terrible as this is going to be, and millions of people are going to lose everything they have, and there's going to be terrible suffering, you know, in the first world nations and the second world nations and the third world nations, at least as far as America, it could be the best thing that ever happened, because it will give us an opportunity to talk to people and explain about the secret societies that have created this make-believe prosperity we have. And they've done this so that they could utilize the wealth and military power of the United States to bring about the one world government. But they're going to have difficulty doing much of anything, even maintaining their own wealth, as this whole system progressively implodes. So our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And certainly that information, the history of money, financial tsunami, a DVD, and with a syllabus, it all comes in video. And then, of course, if you haven't read the book, Creature from Jekyll Island, the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, or the book, Fiat Money Inflation in France, you better start studying. You better understand what's going on, because, of course, most people are going to be totally wiped out before this is over. So give us a call. 1-800-544-8927, and then please pray for America, pray for revival, because we're involved in a spiritual battle, and if people don't understand that, why, certainly we're going to be an awful lot of people are going to lose everything that they have. So we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, and we'll be back in just a moment here for the second hour of Radio Liberty. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us for this hour our good friend Barry Shamish, who is an Israeli patriot living in America because, of course, of threats on his life in Israel. And of course, he gives us a great deal of information about what is going on in Israel today, where the leaders of that country are intent upon destroying that nation. And, of course, they're working very closely with the leaders of this country, who I believe are also intent upon destroying Israel and taking away its security. Well, that is the background. Barry Shamish, thank you so very much for being with us.
Always a pleasure. And you'll excuse me, I've got a teeny bit of a flu, so with that in mind, I guess we should state that in Florida, I married a very lovely lady, and last Sunday she was converted at the conservative synagogue. She became a Jew. And this Sunday we're going to marry her in a synagogue wedding.
All right. Well, we're so happy for you, and I'm sure that people out all across the country are feeling the same way and happy for you. You commented this morning that you got an awful lot of emails congratulating you.
Yeah, it's over 100. It's remarkable, really. Look, it's however you return to the church or to the synagogue, however it's done, it's got to be a good thing. And she brought me back, so I'm grateful to her.
All right, fine. Well, we certainly hope it'll bring her a great deal of happiness, because I can tell you that there's nothing better than a good marriage, and certainly nothing worse than a bad one. But I'm blessed by having a good one. So anyway, we're happy for you and hope that this will help you, and she'll be the helpmate that you need, because your message, the message you're putting out through our radio and through the Internet and through other stations, is vitally important, making people aware of the fact that the leaders of Israel are betraying Israel today. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, the leaders of America, George Bush, is going there on January 9th. Now, I wrote...
George Bush is going to Israel, with what you're saying.
Of course. He'll be in Jerusalem on January 9th. After that, of course, off to Saudi Arabia. God knows what he'll film there. But, yes, he's going to be in Jerusalem January 9th. And I wrote a piece 2 days ago. And it's a humorous piece. It's called Moses Meets the Burning Bush. The burning bush, of course, is George Bush. And there was a reason I wrote it. The message is kind of radical in the conventional sense that Israel has to stand up and protest Bush when he's in Jerusalem. Israel's got to make his trip a nightmare. That's what has to be done. If they want to save their country, they have to protest the person, one of the people bringing it down. And, well, I just got emails today from the last protest group, and that's the Women in Green. All the rest have been infiltrated, their leaders killed. It's a terrible situation that there's just no leadership left whatsoever opposed to Israel's downfall. They've been taken care of. Oh, I hear the music already.
All right, fine. Well, apparently the Women in Green are not going to be doing anything either. We'll be back with Barry in just a moment here. As we appraise what's going on in Israel, the tragic situation that exists there, where this once proud people are simply going along with the New World Order. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, the Women in Green have got a big protest plan. They're going to put up a new settlement. They're sending this around, and I wrote them back, Nadia Matar, who I like. Don't get me wrong, I actually like her, but it doesn't matter. When she's being stupid, she's being stupid. I said to her, ooh, that's real scary. Bush is going to be in Jerusalem, and you're going to be on a hilltop somewhere putting up a trailer, and you think that's a protest? And no one's going to see you, no one's going to care less, and the army will come down as soon as Bush is on the plane out of Israel and take down your little trailer. I said, you got to be nuts to think that you're actually doing anything. And remember that I'm going to remind you that Nadia Matar was arrested after she protested Condoleezza Rice. And I believe she just got the fear of God in her that she takes on Bush, and this time they won't just arrest her, they'll kill her. And I've got a little experience. That country is very scary when you go against leadership. So that's all that's planned. Now, the streets should be lined, I mean lined with protesters. Everywhere Bush goes, his roots, everywhere, all of Jerusalem, all of Israel should be out there lining the streets. But it's not going to happen. And I know what I'm talking about, by the way. When Bill Clinton came to Israel to celebrate the 5th anniversary memorial of Yitzhak Rabin, I couldn't get a dozen people out to Rabin's memorial to protest him. There's nothing that can be done. The Israelis are simply going to go down without much of a fight. But it gets more serious than that, because now you read my article and you know this, but your readers probably don't. Israel's got a first-class surprise for Bush when he gets to Jerusalem. The bodyguard units, you know, when a leader goes to another country, he brings his own secret service, but they don't know the streets and buildings and little niches and nooks and whatever of their country, so you have to have the local country provide security. And lucky old George, the head of security for George Bush's Israeli visit, is none other than Amos Ben-Ami. He was the head of security when Rabin got murdered. Now let's put this in perspective. First of all, if I was Bush's security, I wouldn't care if there was a conspiracy.
Hold that,
behind
hold
Rabin.
That thought. We'll be back in just
okay.
a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry Shamish is our guest this evening. And Barry was just saying that when, of course, George Bush is going to be in Israel on the 8th of January, and, of course, the head of the Israeli security, when he's going to be there, and, of course, there'll be American security, but there'll be the Israeli security as well. And the man who's going to head the Israeli security was the man who headed the security for Rabin when he was assassinated, when he was murdered by the intelligence forces, by the Shabbat, which was the Israeli counterpart of the American FBI. And, of course, Barry's written extensively about the murder of Rabin, and certainly he's written the world's leading experts on that. And isn't it interesting that the same person is going to be in charge of the security in Israel for George Bush is the man who was there when the government killed Rabin. Well, let's hope and pray, as I said on an earlier program, for George Bush. And whatever you think of George Bush, why, of course, far worse if anything were to happen to him. We would end up with Dick Cheney as the president. So pray for George Bush's safety when he's in Israel, because clearly the people are going to be guarding him would not be the ones that I would choose to guard a president whose life I wanted to protect. Go ahead.
Well, he certainly is not on my wish list for survival, but nonetheless, if he were killed in Israel, it wouldn't be very good for Israel. So we'll take your wish and apply it to the general situation, saying that we hope he gets out of there alive. Now, again, we have to ask Amnon Ben-Zvi, Ben-Ami, I'm sorry, let me give you a little background about this guy. Now, I didn't realize, this is the first time I ever heard that he was head of the whole operation to so-called protect Rabin. I'd never known that before. It's come out the first time. I knew him as a spokesman for Rabin. Now, and this was came as a surprise to me and many people, because he was the Walter Cronkite of Israel. During the 70s, we would all turn on the evening news, and by the way, there was only one channel, so the whole country in the 70s was watching him. And for him to go from the Walter Cronkite of Israel to being Rabin's spokesman, and then his bodyguard, means only one thing. It means he was working for the Secret Services. All the time that he was on TV, he was a member of the Shabak. And this is, well, this tells you where the Israeli media is coming from. It's a remarkable hint that the Israeli media is actually, and we've known this for a while, it's not a complete surprise. My good friend Adir Zeek, who died very, very suspiciously as well, but he was my partner in the Rabin assassination. In the Hebrew language, he had a radio show, and he was a tremendous ally of mine. He listed the Shabak agents who were members of the Israeli media, big people. But Amnon Ben-Ami, who was guarding George Bush, is just a typical example of how the media is, in fact, the establishment, and a very bad establishment, not a good establishment. And again, if I were George Bush's bodyguard team, I would be going crazy. Unless somebody knows something that they're not telling us, you don't hire a guy who ran an operation that saw a prime minister murdered running your operation. All I can say is I wrote this article, and it should be up on my website. Go to barrychamish.com, that's CHAMISH.com, and you'll see a section called Articles. Go look at this article and look at where I got it from, and you'll find that, well, as incredible as this story sounds, it's the truth. It's the truth. The person who oversaw the murder of Rabin is going to oversee the protection of Bush. Isn't that great?
Well, it's really almost incomprehensible, but certainly I have no question it's going to be happening, and let's just hope that George Bush gets safely out of Israel. And I wouldn't think that they would want to do anything to it, unless, of course, Dick Cheney really wants to be the president enough that, and I would think that probably it'd be no reason why Dick Cheney would be concerned at all if somebody had to be eliminated to get him into the presidency. That's how Lyndon Johnson got to be president, and Lyndon Johnson was deeply involved with the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, at least according to his mistress, and I have an interview with her in my second tape. Four tapes out on the JFK, that's Madeleine Duncan Brown, and she will tell you about Lyndon Johnson's involvement. He was the vice president, just as Dick Cheney is certainly George Bush's vice president. Let's hope that George Bush gets safely out of Israel.
Well, first of all, I should add that Leah Rabin wrote a book, and one sentence that's on the book that shocked me, that her husband, Yitzhak Rabin, was in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963. And you should know this. I followed the Kennedy assassination a little bit, more than the average public, I guess. But there's a very unusual meeting that took place in the Dallas main police headquarters between Israeli journalists and Jack Ruby. And this, by the way, it's widely reported. Now, why that took place, we don't even want to guess, but if Rabin was in Dallas on November 22nd, as his wife claims, I assume he was one of those Israeli journalists, and I assume they had a role in Jack Ruby pulling the trigger on Lee Harvey Oswald. And again, this is such a crazy world we live in, Well, look at this world. The women in green, the only protesters, are going to be on a hill somewhere where no one will see them. Well, the President of the United States is guarded by the head of the team that saw Rabin's murder, And Rabin was in Dallas on November 22nd of 63. This is, what can you say? There's nothing normal about this world. I'm going to add one little fact that you should know, and I wrote about it recently, but I'm going to re-bring it up because I just spoke with a friend from Australia who remembered this fact, and I got it from Reuters. And also, go to my website and articles. You'll find it a couple articles back. Condoleezza Rice, who is really, really a very evil woman, a really rotten, anti-Semitic, evil woman. Nonetheless, when she was a student in Denver at the University of Colorado, her mentor, the professor of poli-sci that meant the most to her, was Madeleine Albright's father. All right, this is straight from Reuters. Now, what are the odds that the Secretary of State, before Condoleezza Rice, was the daughter of Condoleezza Rice's professor and mentor?
Well, it's just as you show you, we just have a few little, a very, very small clique of people who are really running our foreign policy.
And how come Madeleine Albright didn't know she was a Jew if her father's alive?
You have to sort of wonder about that, but of course the thing is that, I mean, Sidney Madeleine Albright comes from the Council on Foreign Relations. Sidney Condoleezza Rice comes from the Council on Foreign Relations. So does Colin Powell. My Secretary of State always comes from the CFR. And of course, it's very interesting that her professor there was, of course, Madeleine Albright's father. So these people all think the same way. They're globalists. They have an intense hatred for America, for sovereignty. Their goal is this one world government, this new world religion, and of course this new world leader. So certainly I share your concerns. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens as far as Israel is concerned, because I can't see anything good coming out of George Bush's trip to Israel, at least not either for America or for Israel.
Well, after Condoleezza Rice left university, since when does Chevron hire black women to be on their board? Okay? I mean, you got to look at this career and who's been backing her and who this Condoleezza Rice is.
Not only did Chevron actually hire her to be on the board, but they named an oil tanker after her. And, of course, but it sailed out of the port there in Angola one day and never was seen again. Well, it was seen again, but now it had a different name. As soon as she became the National Security Advisor, why, they just changed the name of the Condoleezza Rice tanker.
Well, it's a shame we can't ship her back to Angola, but we're stuck with this. And just an opinion, it doesn't matter who runs the United States. The policy will be the CFR's policy. And there's no one so independent that he can buck the tide. But let's go back to Israel and the insanity that is going on. My latest article, Tony Blair is going to become a Catholic. Now, this may surprise you. It may surprise your listeners who don't know this. But Tony Blair is going to convert to Catholicism. Now, I put that in the article. There were so many articles about this. But I took it from the Catholic News, the big Catholic paper, to make it super official. He said he couldn't convert while he was prime minister, and it's his quote, because people would think he was a nutter, or in American terms, that he's nuts, which of course is really within the realms of possibility anyways.
No, I don't think he's crazy. I think he's diabolical. I think he's evil. I think he is an agent of this cabal that runs the world. But I think it's also so fascinating. Why is it so important for him to convert to Catholicism at this time in history? I think that's the $64,000 question. And I think it has tremendous spiritual implications.
Well, shall we let the music pass?
We'll let the music pass. Our guest is Barry Shamish. We're talking about the fact that Tony Blair, the former Prime Minister of Great Britain, an Anglican country, has suddenly decided he's going to become a Catholic. And the question is, why? All right, Barry, go ahead, pick up the story.
Well, Tony Blair's got a mighty important job, and he also has a house in Jerusalem now. He's the negotiator for the quartet.
Now, could you explain to our listeners what the quartet is? Because although you and I know what that term means, but a lot of our listeners may not.
Oh, it's just a fake term for people promoting the Oslo Accord.
But aren't there four of them? One,
yeah,
of course,
the UN, the EU, the United States, and Russia.
Right, okay.
That's the quartet. They're all determined to push Oslo. They're determined to get rid of Israel. I mean, this is what the Oslo Accord was. It changed names. It became the Saudi Accord, and it became the Barcelona Agreement, and it, but it's all Oslo. The conditions are the same. Israel Israel just gets out of all its defensive positions. There is a new and peace-loving Palestinian state beside it, and that's going to solve the world's problems. Now, Blair is the arbitrator. He's in Jerusalem. The guy's looking for a good house. I believe right now, the last time I read about this, he chose as his residence the former UN guard tower on something called the Hill of Evil. That's the actual name, by the way. It's in a district called Armon HaNetziv, and you can see the old city of Jerusalem from the west. It's quite spectacular. Tony Blair was in Jerusalem arranging that Bethlehem, that the security situation was loosened considerably this Christmas to make sure pilgrims got into Bethlehem, where the Palestinians have completely thrown out the Christian population and are taking all the business away. That was Blair. Now, but there's a worse situation. Well, Blair is negotiating for Bethlehem with the Israeli army, no less. Remember, he's got a great position. He's not prime minister of Bethany. He is now the newly to become converted Catholic arbitrator for the quartet living in Jerusalem.
Well, he has some sort of official position as a representing the EU there? Is that what he's doing?
No, the quartet.
Okay, the quartet, all right.
The whole gang of them.
Oh.
He's in charge of it. Okay, I mean, he is the negotiator for peace in the Middle East right now. I guess people don't know that, but I don't know how you can keep that a secret. That's his new job. Now, while Blair is doing his conversion to Catholicism, and it gets announced, when was it announced? A week ago. Really the same day. It's within a day or two within each other. The Latin Patriarch of Israel opens his big mouth and says that Israel, this is a quote, by the way, the force of evil causing all the hatred and dissension in the Middle East, it's all Israel. Now, look, I've done this subject many, many times. It's not like I've never spoken that the Vatican wants Jerusalem. They want Jerusalem as their capital. I have a DVD, a two-hour DVD from Jerusalem. I gave this speech about 2 years ago.
Hold that thought, Barry. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Gotcha.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry is simply saying that Tony Blair, the former Prime Minister of Great Britain, is now the official negotiator for the quartet. The quartet are four nations. One is Israel, one is the United States.
No, not Israel.
Not Israel.
No, it's against Israel.
All right, fine. What are the, certainly, the European
EU,
Union?
The UN, Russia, and the United States.
All right, fine. The UN, the EU, the Russia, and the United States are the quartet, and certainly, Tony Blair is the negotiator for the quartet. But for some reason, Tony Blair suddenly wants to convert to Catholicism, and he's buying a home there, getting a home there in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is really the center of so much of what's going on in the world today. People don't understand, but I personally believe that God's always had a plan for Jerusalem. He's always had a plan for the Jewish people. He's had a plan for the rest of us as well. But right now, Israel is still the center of so much of what's going on in the world. So go ahead, Barry.
Well, we should mention, and you know the answer to this, of course, what Tony Blair's favorite TV show is.
And, well, go ahead.
I Love Lucifer.
I know, you're talking about I Love Lucy, of course. Shame on you, but go ahead.
No, he loves Lucifer.
Well, he may very well, but that's not his favorite TV show.
Well,
it might be The Medium, you know, which, of course, is, and The Medium, of course, is very, very popular, starting again on the next Monday show here in the United States about this a beautiful blonde woman. Her name is Alison Dubois, who's who is a medium, and she can contact these spirits, and they help her to help the DA to get the bad guys. But in truth, she's tapping into the dark forces, which are very real. They're not imaginary, because there really was an Alison Dubois. She really did work for the district attorney, and what you're seeing reproduced on television is a fictionalized version of her story. But there really are people who can contact the other dimension. I don't know whether Tony Blair has done that yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't working for them.
Well, he's working for the Vatican, that's for darn sure. I mentioned briefly, I'm going to leave my phone number. I have a DVD, you can't really buy it anywhere else. It's the Vatican's New Crusade for Jerusalem, where I go over all this stuff. So if you're interested, here's a phone number. 904-501-7605. Once again, that's 904-501-7605. And now we go on to the kind of evil that this Bush is bringing to Jerusalem. And you know, again, you now know this, but Dennis Kucinich, who is was running for president, I assume he's not going to anymore. He was a leader at one time until Clinton pretty well put him away. But nonetheless, he was a vicious critic of Cheney's. He was a leading critic of Dick Cheney. You know, his brother was found dead in his home in Cleveland a week ago?
No, I didn't until I heard you tell us this morning. And I think that this is something we should be concerned about, when the relatives of key political figures suddenly turn up dead. And we know that there really are professional assassins in this country who carry out assignments that are paid for by the CIA or the other intelligence agencies. And just as in Israel, they've used this to terrify a lot of the opposition, so I suspect they're doing the same thing in America.
Well, as I said, you don't have to suspect that. Okay, your suspicions are well-founded. But again, this is a major news item. I printed it in the article. His brother is found dead. They think it's a suicide, but they haven't said so. The police checked the apartment out. He was alone at home and found dead. He was 52 years old. His name was Perry Kucinich. The point of the matter is, this was a major story that you could only read about through me. It was buried. It was dead and buried. Now, the reason that I mention this is because I've been on the last 2 weeks since it happened, I've been talking about the deaths occurring in Israel, how they've been wiping out the leaders of the opposition. And, oh, there's that music. We'll get to Edu Zoltan really shortly.
All right, fine. Of course, this happens. It's happening in Russia today. The opposition to Putin is just dying. Certainly, Litvinenko over in London, who, of course, accused Putin of being responsible for the bombings of three apartment houses in Moscow, and killing 300 Russians, and then using that as a justification for going into Chechnya. I mean, this is standard technique. I mean, you create these atrocities, and then, of course, you use them to rally the people behind you. Putin uses it, but don't think it isn't used in the West as well. All right. right, Barry, go right ahead.
Well, the Kuchinich murder, and I'm going to call it a murder. I mean, we've reached that point where the families of political irritants get killed off. Look at Paul Wellstone and his daughter. I believe he was the only congressman or senator, you'll have to correct me on that. American history is not my forte. All I know is Paul Wellstone was a Jew from Minnesota whose plane crashed over Duluth in perfect weather, and his daughter died with him. He was the only one to vote against the invasion of Iraq. He was a vocal critic of the Bush administration and their plan to attack a country which was not hiding weapons of mass destruction and had nothing to do with 9/11. He opened his mouth and he was killed. And well, who's saying that in your country? You should be saying that. But again, the same thing with Perry Kuchinich. Again, my pronunciation may not be perfect, but it's Kuchinich. Perry Kuchinich, doing my best here, was found dead, and nobody says a thing. Nobody is asking what he died of. At least get to the excuse. You know, there should be enough of a concern to at least see what the cover-up is. But no, you can do whatever you want in Israel and in America, apparently, to political opposition. It's a very serious state of affairs. Now, what I'm going to talk about is someone named Ido Zoltan. Now, we mentioned him even prominently recently. He was a settler. He was a resident of Judea and Samaria, killed outside, my goodness. You know, my memory is not as good as it once was. It was near a Shar. It doesn't matter where he was killed. He was killed in Samaria by, as I predicted accurately, Fatah killers. Now, I said over and over that Ido Zoltan's Kiddumim was the city, by the way. It's probably more important to me than anyone else that I get the fact right. Now, Ido Zoltan was leading a movement to resettle one of the four Sumerian towns destroyed by the army in August of 2005 with the Gush Katif withdrawal. That's covered again in my book, Bye Bye Gaza.
Interestingly, I did get it, Barry. Thank you very much. We could just arrive today.
How does the book?
Pardon?
How does the book look?
Oh, a beautiful book. I was very, very impressed. Hold on for a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, is Barry Shamish, and I was just thanking Barry for sending me a copy of his book, Bye Bye Gaza, a very nice-looking book, very large book, and I'm looking forward, of course, to reading it. But before we go on, Barry, I want you to get out your website. I want you to get out your telephone number so people can get your DVDs, and you mentioned, of course, your book on the your DVD on the Vatican. Of course, I would mention the DVD I really enjoyed was the one on the Return of the Giants, on the UFO sightings in Israel. Fascinating pictures, and of course, a lot of American television programs where Barry Shamish is sort of the star, the commentator, as they talk about this strange metaphysical occurrence in Israel from about 1987 up to something about 1999, somewhere in that time range. So, Barry, how can people get those DVDs from you, and how can they get your books?
Well, first of all, the DVD, you're right. More people want that than anything else. I'm talking serious politics, and they want serious spiritual issues. All right, 904-501-7605. That's 904-501-7605. The books, including Bye Bye Gaza, which is 419 pages long, and I sent Dr. Stan, by the way, I sent you the black and white version. The color version is pretty expensive, but it's really quite spectacular. So when you look at the pictures, imagine them in color, I don't know. You get that from lulu.com. L-U-L-U.com. In the right-hand corner, it says search, and you write C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That's my name, Shamish. My website is, well, do BarryShamish.com. www.barrychambers.com. You'll get there. And, you know, if you want to contact me, do it through the website. And I've, to the Dr. Stan shows, I've made many, many interesting contacts indeed. And now let's get back to Ito. He was in charge of resettling Chumash, but he wasn't just a nobody. His father was one of the biggest contractors in Judea and Samaria. I think he was the biggest one. 3 days before there was going to be a convention where people would put money down to resettle Chumash, and the father would commit himself to building a house as soon as it was politically possible to do so, he was killed. And I knew the Shabak did it. The PLO may pull the trigger. That's the way they do it. They pull the trigger, and then Israel releases the killers. But this time it was even worse. The Shabak arrested the killers within 2 days. And what did they do? Remember, they're killers of an Israeli Jew. The Shabak hands the killers over to Fatah. And now, about 3 weeks later, we learn that they haven't even been charged. They're not sitting in jail. What can I say? This was just blatant murder, and the residents of Yesha are too blind and stupid to understand that their secret government killed Zoltan. This is the way it's being done in Israel. The opposition leadership die like Kachinik and Wellstone. They kill them off so that there's no leaders. And they have done one heck of a good job. Let's give them credit. They're excellent killers.
In fact, we have a gentleman, Bob Fletcher, we do a lot of work with, and he was very close to Congressman Sonny Bono. And Sonny Bono...
Oh, they got him.
No question at all. Sonny had told Bob that as soon as he got back from his skiing trip, he was going, of course, to open an investigation of some of the things that Bob had been talking about his criminal activity and this effort to betray America. And, of course, Sonny Bono never got back from the skiing trip.
I know a little about Bono. He was also exposing Clinton's cocaine ties. He was on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee,
right?
And he had a big mouth. And of course, he went skiing and hit a tree. You know, that's a great way to die. An experienced skier hits a tree.
In fact, there were two deaths there within about 2 weeks of skiing.
It was Kennedy after that.
And of course, and after that, why? We haven't heard about any more prominent people skiing into a tree. I guess maybe they figured that it would be just too much to get the American people to think about.
Oh, I know that the tree was along a very popular path, and he lay there dead for 3 hours. And I know this story. It's awful. Sonny Bono, there's another example. Even Cher doesn't say he was murdered. You can kill whoever you want in your country. Just kill him. Take him to a park in Washington, drag him over a carpet, throw him in the middle of a bush with carpet fibers. You realize who I'm speaking
of. Sorry about, of course, about what happened to Vince Foster, and I know very well. One man, of course, had seen and I've forgotten what the details, but certainly he was a very effective witness, pointing out that this official government story wasn't right. And they actually subjected him to a planned harassment. I talked to both Ambrose Evan Pritchard of the Sunday Telegraph and, of course, to Chris Ruddy, both of who witnessed the harassment of this poor fellow who is going to be testifying before some sort of a congressional committee. And they had about 50 people involved in this planned program of harassment. And this is what they do, frighten people to death to tell the truth in America. Could this really be true? We've still got our interviews there with Ambrose Evan Pritchard and Chris Ruddy, where they tell about personally witnessing the harassment of a federal witness. And, of course, the federal government's not about to do anything because they're behind the harassment.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a little exclusive as long as we're on the subject here. Sloane Rabin, it's Yitzhak Rabin's wife. Now, in the year of 1999, The Rabin family went on TV, all three of them, the son, the daughter, but especially the mother. And I watched this interview, and she said something I couldn't believe. She said, the public should have a look at Chamish's book. In Hebrew, it is Atef HaSefer Shel Chamish. And my ears picked up, and I said, what is going on there?
You know, basically, of course, your book says that it was the government, it was the Shabbat that actually killed Rabin, and here is this is his mother saying, read Chamish's book? Great. Well, that was a great recommendation for it.
It was the best. It sold a lot of books. And then she recommended a reinvestigation of her husband's, not mother, her husband's murder. Now, this was a major... I thought it was over. This was it. Leah Rabin says, reinvestigate my husband's murder. And she says, the public should look at my book. It looked like I was going to win. And believe me, I have very few victories that I know about. I have a lot of frustration, but very few victories like this one. Now, Leah Rabin died, a year afterwards. Of breast cancer, they say. Now, how much time do we have?
Oh, we've got about 13 minutes.
Oh, then I'll do this. I'll do this with ease then.
No, we're going, yes.
All right. Now, I'm giving a lecture in, the city was Petah Tikva. For some reason I remember that. It's a town in Israel that likes me. I give a lot of lectures there. But at the end of the lecture, and at the end of every lecture, somebody knew something. Israel's a small country, and the way I've gathered intelligence, believe it or not, was simply by lecturing. I'm giving away a professional secret right now. I lectured in Israel for 5 years, 6, 7 years, once a week, nonstop. Every Saturday night, I give another lecture. Home groups and yeshivas and town councils, they would all invite me. I gave my Rabin lecture about 400 times in Israel. And at the end of every lecture, somebody would take me aside and tell me something they knew. And this was a source of remarkable intelligence. These were high-ranking army officials. These were people in the Justice Department. Israel is too small to hide these people. And these were people who knew too much about me as well. It was scary sometimes. But a guy took me aside, and he says to me, look, I'm a physician at Iqaluv Hospital. And by the way, I've heard that. I had enough people from Iqaluv talk to me as well. But he says about Leah Rabin. And I said to him, what about her? He said she was misdiagnosed. I don't know what happened there, but the medicine she got was totally inappropriate for her condition. And I reported it. And they told me to shut up if I want to keep my life. He said the medicine she was given for her breast cancer did nothing whatsoever, nothing to stop the breast cancer. She would have died about when she did, and he saw it, he reported it, he was threatened, and he's never told anyone professionally since then. Now, I took note of this, and then something else happened that is entirely... unrelated in one respect. The UFO stuff, I tried my best to keep it out of my work in Israel. I wanted Israel only to be Rabin and to be the corrupt government. And I've got some, not very many, but they're very active enemies out there. One is Daniel Pipes, and he's got a really, really nutcase, works as a professor in Haifa. And these people use the UFO against me, which by the way, I've been told is a good thing because it's probably saved my life. But someone phoned me from Rishon LeZion, and they had filmed the UFO, and they wanted my opinion whether it was real or not. And by the way, it was real. They had filmed the real UFO. You know, just to tell you that. But nonetheless, I get to the house. It's quite a wealthy house, And I bring my Rabin books anyways. And no one realized that it was the same writer of Hubert and Rabin who was getting this publicity of, over UFOs as well. And I start talking about Rabin as well. And then the light goes on, and we've seen the UFO, and I've analyzed it. You know, I saw a lot of films and conferences worldwide. I could tell a fake from the real thing. I pronounced it real. And then the man. There was, about eight people in the room, all well-dressed, all classy people. The man says, I'm a physician in the oncology department at Ichilov Hospital. Now, I want you to know, in Petah Tikva, my audience there, of course, was religious and right-wing. And the physician from the oncology department there, I assume, was also religious and right-wing. While he was certainly religious, I assume he was also right-wing. But this guy was from the far, far left, who filmed UFOs from Rishon LeZion, and he says to me, you know, I've got a story about Leah Rabin. And he says, I looked at the way she was being treated, the drugs she was being prescribed, and I was shocked. I said, these drugs weren't even placebos. They had no effect, but they were worthless drugs for her condition, he said. And he says he reported it to the head of the department, saying that she would die unless she had proper treatment. And he said that he was threatened and told to shut his mouth, and he left, and I'm the first person he's told this story to. I then had two doctors, one with no political reason in the world to tell me this story, and one maybe with a political reason, but politics wasn't an issue here. It was two doctors who were being true to their profession and telling me what happened. And they both said the same thing, that they examined Leah Rabin, they looked at the medicine being used to treat her breast cancer. It was all wrong. They reported to the head of the department. They were warned to shut up. They were threatened. They killed Leah Rabin. I've got two doctors, two of them, who said the same thing. Leah Rabin wanted her. Leah Rabin was getting too darn close to rallying the nation behind a reinvestigation of her husband's murder, and they hushed her up.
Well, I wouldn't be at all surprised. We've seen that here in this country with the murder of Martin Luther King and his family doing everything they could to get the story out. They even had a trial, which nobody ever heard of. But
oh, no. I watched it. It was the BBC trial, and it was heard of. And they had jurors from Columbia University. They subpoenaed people.
Oh, yeah.
People had to show. It was a very effective trial.
Yeah, but where did you see this?
It was on TV worldwide. I watched it in Israel.
Well, I don't think
it was. The trial of James Earl Ray?
Yeah, but I don't. No. But basically, you wouldn't have seen it here in the United States. That was the thing. I mean, most Americans did not know about the fact that there actually was a trial, and of course, the people who were associated with the murder were identified. And it was totally blacked out here. There's a book written about it, but if you'd asked 100 Americans about that trial for the murder of Martin Luther King, most of them have never realized that the judge and I forgot whether it was judge and jury or judge, but the judge came up with the conclusion that the federal government, was involved in the murder of Martin Luther King.
The judge was from the law department of Columbia University.
Right.
I watched this thing with great interest, and James Earl Ray, and by the way, he was dying of cancer by then. They had fixed him up. He didn't look very well. But he was, and there was a jury, by the way, if I'm not mistaken. They had subpoena rights. They brought in witnesses. They brought in the woman who ran the motel, and they described the motel room and how he couldn't have fit into that tiny space. He was found innocent, and it was, to all intents and purposes, this is filmed by the BBC. Order it somehow through the internet. James Earl Ray was found innocent by a very, very astute team assembled by the BBC.
And there's no question, how could you cover something like that up? It heard throughout the rest of the world. Why, for the same reason that everybody in the world knows about the Bilderbergers, but the average American has never heard of the Bilderbergers unless you listen to alternative radio. Unfortunately, freedom of the press in America means if you own the press, you have the freedom to distort what is made available to the American people. And that's really what's going on. That's why programs such as this is so important, why Barry Shamish's work is so important. So go to Barry's website. That's BarryShamish.com. One more time, the telephone number, Barry?
Oh, 904-501-7605.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Barry, you have 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I'm going to wrap it up with just one last little murder. The Leah Rabine story, by the way, is an exclusive. I've never... it kicked in during the middle of the show. It certainly wasn't planned. And, you know, we're talking on Thursday. I'm going to write it down that we should talk about this. And I'll also talk about the horrible murder of Benny Begin's son, Yehuda. Benny Begin was the only cabinet minister in 1996. He was in Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet, not realizing that Netanyahu had been bought and sold long ago by the likes of Richard Pearl, George Bush Sr., George Shultz, that he was working for the CFR, and he wanted to pull out of Hebron for nothing. 10 days after he was elected, they took away the card, a peace card, where we pull out of Hebron and leave the Jewish section intact in return for an end to terrorism and so forth. Nothing like that. And Shimon Peres and Benny Begin was science minister in the government. He refused to back this pullout. Shimon Peres stood up before the whole Knesset, and how do I phrase this? In the Hebrew, it's something. He says, "I'm sick of your crappy family." He says, "I'm sick of you and your crappy family." And it was, in Hebrew, the word was kana. It's worse than crappy. Yehuda Begin died, what was it, a month and a half. He was an airplane pilot, the first one in Israeli history since the computer's been invented anyways, who got vertigo and crashed his jet. We can talk about murders all night long with me if you ever want them. I have a compendium of Israeli murders.
Well, I think it's a tragic commentary, but this is the way people work. They actually kill people that oppose them. And if you doubt that, certainly it happens here in America. A wonderful book written by Lieutenant General William Odom, the book Fixing Intelligence, and he simply asked a question. He can't tell you he was former head of the NSA. But should the CIA be able to assassinate people? Should the CIA be able to assassinate people? If you want to see the pages of the book, we have it. Here's the man who's head of the NSA, the most secret of the intelligence agencies, asking the questions, because he can't tell us the CIA is assassinating people, but he can ask the question. Barry, good night. God bless. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it. Bye, all.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I have to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener supported, and we're dependent upon those of you who listen to our program to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day, trying to educate the people and get them to understand that there really are dark and sinister spirits of forces at work within our society. And we are living at probably one of the most exciting times in history. And, of course, if you don't have a personal relationship with our Lord, let me suggest that you at least give it serious consideration. If you'd like to talk to me about it, why, we'd be glad to talk to you or put you in touch with somebody who could counsel you, probably a lot better than I can. But Truly, this is a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And the church has been infiltrated. Unfortunately, many of our seminaries have been infiltrated. The music and message of Christianity has been changed, and we're in real trouble today, because the one thing that protected America for so many decades and years was the strong Christian heritage of our nation, a Christian heritage which is rapidly being eroded and destroyed. If you have not yet seen the DVDs of The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, you need to. You need to understand that there were two forces at work in America at the time our country was founded. One was Christian, the other was the occult. The Christian was the dominant force for almost 150 years. But, of course, the occult never rests. And now, of course, they are the dominant force. And that's why we're fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan today. It all has to do with creating the background for the coming war with the Muslim world. And out of the war with the Muslim world, and perhaps with Russia and China as well, they hope that they're going to be able to bring about this one world government. After all, even out of all of the carnage of World War I, why America would not give up its sovereignty and join the League of Nations. Out of the horrible and carnage of World War II, America still didn't want to give up its sovereignty and its national integrity. And that is why there's going to have to be a terrible, terrible war that's going to involve most of the people listening to this program. There's going to be terrible death and suffering in this country, because they hope that after that occurs, that the American people will give up their sovereignty and they can bring about the one world government and the one world religion and, of course, the one world leader. And as you see the things unfolding, it should be obvious that we're not fighting in Iraq to win the war. And those of you, of course, who take our newsletter, you'll find that our December newsletter is my interview with, the talk that was given by Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez. There were some 7,500 references on Google to the speech. Almost none of them were praiseworthy, but there was only one copy of the complete speech, and we've taken the segment of the speech that deals with the no-win war in Iraq, and that'll be our December newsletter. You'll certainly want to read it and understand that Iraq and Afghanistan, but primarily Iraq is what we're talking about, is a replay of the no-win war in Vietnam and the no-win war in Korea. Understand that our boys are not being allowed to win the war. Now, General Sanchez certainly doesn't understand the spiritual implications of what's going on, although I think reading what he has to say, I believe he's a devout Christian, but most Christians don't understand the spiritual implications of the events that are taking place today. So our hope is, of course, that you'll want to get our December newsletter. It'll be coming probably in about 4 weeks. However, if you are not a regular subscriber to our newsletter, you should be, but it'll be posted on the Internet. You can read it free of charge, or if you want a free copy, you'll have to call and request it. That's the December issue of or you can even get the complete speech, but it's very almost impossible to read in the form it's up on the Internet. The General, Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, I believe a great American, of course, was severely criticized for telling the truth, and that is that Iraq is another no-win war. Well, please pray for America. Our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. May the Lord be with you.